You are listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. How's it, baby? Keep it real. Take the red pill.
You drive a hard bargain.
This is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I don't really know exactly, you know, who'll be up, who's not up, but you know, that depends on who's taking their regular dosage of these crimson capsules I have for you. we have also with us, my co-host, the man wonder himself, Will Turbitt, from The Man of Truth.
Yeah, V, I've been doing a bunch more research, too, and we've had Mr. Allhouse on a few times before, but this should be cool, and I think we should also start off with a recap of the story for people that may not be aware and people that are just tuning in, because we get tons of new listeners all the time. We're on all these different stations, so...
Well, yeah, you know.
The way 9/11, Joe Biden's a pedophile.
9/11. Well, you know. you keep doing it to me, so I'm just keep throwing it back on you. You keep saying the name of the guest, so that means you have to bring him on in.
Yeah, might as well, right? So Tom Allhouse is the original creator of what we know as the Matrix Trilogy. You can go to redpillrising.org and check out all the proof there. He handed the original plot in to Warner Brothers in 1993, and then we'll get into the details. But Tom, you there with us, brother?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Thanks for coming on short notice, man. How you feeling? And yeah, tell the audience your story, and then we'll get into the Matrix, because like I said, there's a lot of people that that this might be their first time tuning in, so we're on news stations all the time. So introduce yourself and let's get into the story, the real story of the Matrix.
Yeah, my name's Tom Allhouse. Basically, the story starts at the Religious Right, Pat Robertson's organization. I was going to grad school there, learned a lot about what was going on, being groomed to be a head in his organization, and then I found out what was going on. So after I basically lost everything, I whispered through art, through a piece called The Immortals, and was asked to pitch it to Bonaventura, Warner Brothers executive, and that was up in Long Island. That's after it was also submitted to Disney through two professors of Robertson. So the work caught on really fast. Bonaventura said at the pitch session he already had a copy of the script. He said that we're making this, it's revolutionary, submit it in. We did. Boyd & Boyd of Norfolk, the law firm, submitted it in June 25th, 93. We still have the letterhead, his testimony affidavit, sworn statements. We have the tracking number, receipt, full script, 128 pages, music that went with it. We were cleared by George Michael and Arista Records with Alan Parsons' project. Smith Music also, that they had for the work, that's 93, and in the work went. And basically we're told that, you know, it's going to be made, everything's going to work out. Next thing I know, the rugs are pulled, and it was given to the Wachowskis, saved their career. And if anybody, you know, fans of the story of The Matrix, they'll know that the Wachowskis said in 95 that they had failed as writers and they'd have to pack their bags and leave unless they were given a project to direct. And that they called the Science Project. And that's what my work was referred to.
And so where did things develop after that? So how did they end up getting the Science Project?
Because it's really crazy. The attorney submitted it. The attorney submitted it fully. He has the tracking number receipt to 4000 Warner Brothers Lane. And they claim now they never got it. Well, he's testified that it went in. He knows they received it. Got word back they received it. And James Boyd of Norfolk is the one that made sure it got in per Bonham Sure's directions. And that's where you'll see the Wachowskis in articles saying they want to do Jackson Neck for real in 95. You know, we want to do Jackson Neck for real. Well, that's all through our screenplay. And now
Hold on. So, what? Okay, what piece of documentation they claim they did not get?
Yeah, we have the tracking number receipt from James Boyd of Norfolk. He's the submitting attorney, James Boyd. And from
the submitting of what documentation specifically?
He submitted the screenplay, character breakdown.
The screenplay.
The screenplay, Immortals, music, includes Jackson Neck, everything in there with the screenplay. Character breakdown.
Well, they obviously got it because they made a movie out of it, right?
That's what the sitting attorney says. He says they definitely got it. He's testifying they got it.
Okay, so, and that is something I've actually been dealing with a lot lately. IRS owes me a lot of money. But they're claiming they're not getting my documentation.
Mm-hmm.
They got an excuse every time I call them as to why they're not wanting to give me my money. Now, if I were on the flip side, there would be no excuses, even if I didn't get any documentation. We got cops at your door. You didn't get this documentation? Oh, well, you're going to jail. You're gonna pay us or you're going to give us some money. You know, why can't I hunt down IRS with my sniper rifle, but they can come at me with force. They can sleaze and slime their way out of things. And you know, it's not just the IRS. I got several different agencies, government agencies that owe me and had owed me and tried to do the duck and dodge like they're broke. Mm-hmm. You know, and these people are slimy.
Well, that's the thing. You also have crossovers, like, you know, you put on the board with little strings attached to the different thumbtacks. You got the CIA operating. Now we know they own Amazon or work with Amazon closely. And so what they do is they drop these little Easter eggs, and I just sent Will a whole bunch of these, first time ever sent out, where all these Easter eggs are now on the films of the groups that are controlled by FBI and CIA in the film industry. And you're finding things like this. Get this. Black Sails, right? In Amazon, the Black Sails series, Amazon, Pirates, Black Sails. You've got all these historic figures in the film, and I sent three things to Will on that one for you guys. The one is, in our screenplay, the Agent Smith is called Behringer. And the character that Robertson didn't want in, that is the false oracle, there's a false oracle and an ambiguous oracle. It's actually a good oracle in ours. The false oracle is called Dooley. Now, in Black Sails, there's two characters who aren't in history, but in Black Sails, where Amazon's controlled by the CIA, they put Behringer and they put Dooley, D-O-O-L-E-Y, same thing. And then they put the Boyd brothers. Well, James Boyd is the one that submitted it. These Easter eggs go in all the time. Then they put the clock face with the birthday on it, 7-2. It is now the standard in the industry to put 7-2 on the clock faces, my birthday. And 7259. And what's really interesting is
it's not just Easter eggs, though. This is blatantly shoving it into the face of the creator, the original creator.
That's right.
Which is
That's right.
So, in these situations, and I've seen these tactics before in other operations that these feds do. They'll put personal information with things A lot of times they'll replace, let's say, just an example in your situation, they'll replace someone with someone that looks exactly like you. Or they'll try to replicate, you know, someone who has a family just like yours. They'll do things that seems personal to someone that they horribly already victimized. And what that's designed to do is to push the person over the edge and make them kill themselves to make sure that they don't step forward.
Right. That's right. Like you said about the banging on the doors, I've been pulled from my home a number of times under false 302 claims. And that's the idea that you're about to commit mass murder, pre-crime. And that's what's so amazing about Spielberg is that during Minority Report in 2002, his best friend named Peter chewed me out on the phone and I had recorded the call. And I was at Colonial Williamsburg, where Rockefeller's group is. Rockefeller controls it in Virginia. And here comes this call from Hollywood saying, don't you ever effing come to Hollywood. You're a dead man. And that's from Peter, Spielberg's best friend. Now, Spielberg put in the 2002 movie, Minority Report, the main character Tom Cruise plays is Captain John Anderton. In the ripped-off version from The Matrix of our work, they put John Anderson as the father of Neo. Tom Anderson, my name, and my Scottish clan name. My dad's name, Scottish clan name. Now, Spielberg takes it a step up. Spielberg's putting in Captain John Anderton. My dad's naval rank is Captain. His name is John. And they take Anderson and put a T on it to make more like Anderton, like Tom. And so, what's the crime? What's the crime Tom Cruise is facing? Why is he going to be put away in the pods for good? Because he's going to commit murder, they say, a 302. Why? Because his son, Sean, is murdered. My son, Sean, was murdered.
Yeah, man, I hear that. That's like the third time I've heard this, because I'm familiar with the story and I've interviewed Tom before, but that just gave me chills again, man. And it's crazy because this is some real deal stuff that people are dealing with. And, you know, with the whole Me Too movement, you know, people just kind of got a little peek at the tip of the iceberg of what's really going on in Hollywood. And you've also made predictions that have come true, but I don't even know if people are truly aware and or ready for how dark Hollywood truly is.
Well, you raise a good point. I mean, what's interesting is these guys, these CIA operatives and such like that, are fans of the work. Now, that's the interesting thing. You end up with this extra layer of darkness, which fits with the whole theme of the Immortals piece that was taken. Because the idea is that the architect is bored, and most of us could agree that a lot of our ills in our world and society come from people being bored. These guys have to keep, you know, be exciting, feel important, and do things to stir up trouble and feel like they're gods basically on Earth. And so what happens is you've got these guys that are agents, real-life agents, that are actually fans of the work, that are trying to destroy the writer who they work their fans of. It's just, and you get this extra layer of weird darkness. That's actually in our screenplay where the Neo character is there because the architect wants to use him for mind stimulation, his own mind stimulation. He's immortal in a program. His mind could atrophy. It's not battery power. It's not hooking up people in pods. Those pods are from the screenplay lifted, where they're actually bringing back the top 100 on test subjects and matching, so the architect could have, you know, immortality appropriate time. So what's interesting is that dichotomy is actually happening in the screenplay, where the architect is needing Neo to face off with Smith. Smith's not allowed to kill him in order to keep a stimulation of the mind until he's ready to actually give the final solution, which is eliminate a lot of the population and bring out the people of Zion to see him come back as Christ so that he can have worship as a stimulus and purge his own agents. They didn't know what to do with it. In fact, the suits at Warner Brothers in an article said that we know we got something cool, but we don't understand it. Wachowski couldn't explain
it. Let's go back a step, too, because Warner Brothers got something cool, and that's right, but why did they, you know, they were grooming you, right? And then all of a sudden it goes from you, you're the big man on campus, and then all of a sudden, now all of a sudden these failed Wachowski brothers, now sisters, they end up with what you have instead. And it seems like, you know, it's a complete reversal of fortune.
Well, you've got a lineup that worked against me, and I'll answer that for you. It's a great question. You've got the Wachowskis with Bonaventura. Bonaventura's penchant was for saving the careers of failed writers. You've got the Warner Brothers suits, right, who are wanting to have work in-house so they can profit off it more securely. So the Wachowskis were wined and dined by De Laurentiis. Why? They failed as writers. They failed at painting. Mom said all they did was ever play video games. They flunked out of school. So why are they being wined and dined by De Laurentiis, being promised starlets and fame and money and fortune? Why? They don't have a body of work. Even Plastic Man and Carnivore, they still are trying to peddle, isn't being done. The reason is because they want failed writers who will be loyal in-house to take stolen work. And then you add on the extra layer that Robertson did not want me to be successful after I failed to come through with what he wanted. Being groomed for top position, I knew too much about the organization.
Okay, well, that said, I would like to also maybe speculate on other reasons as well, because I know... I'm someone, again, I know how the system works. I know I'm, being an activist, someone who is against the corrupt system. I know I've got like 20 inventions that I want to get patented and put out there and made. I know better than to put my idea out there because it'll either sit for 20 years on review, or they'll give it to somebody else, or they'll just flat out deny me a patent. So I know better than to just put it out there without, having a lawyer, without just getting the patent pending, and without just investing in it myself, which I can't do at this point. So saying how I've seen other people have their work stolen for whatever reasons, I know the reason why they wouldn't want me to be rich. But you, I mean, you're a white guy, I don't think you sound like you have some family that may have been Freemasons or something like that. I think, wouldn't they overlook anything like that and just
get you on
board anyways?
My being white makes me one of the biggest traitors in the religious right organization. Because what happens is I was being groomed from the top, privy to information, and I said the wrong answers. They were grooming me. I was about lifting all people and doing work as a service and not agreeing with the cultish ideas they were holding up. I mean, these guys are nuts. And they believed in actually simulating a Christ return, having world power, through having an endless war. I mean, what they were telling me was absolutely insane. And they said, well, we're not going to be second-class citizens, we're going to be first-class citizens. They're promised me a beautiful wife, limo, you name it, house, you name it. And I was like, this isn't right. So I paid the ultimate price for not bending over in their sex ring, basically. And so what happened was I lost everything.
That's the virtual, the moral casting couch, and you did not get on your knees and start blowing.
No, I didn't. Basically. And so I lost everything. So I'm a traitor to, if you look at it, I'm worse than any ethnic group, according to them. I'm a traitor. I was being groomed, bred, I had a look and everything. And you've got these guys, I mean, you think of it, what's happened? They took the CIA, they're saying is the largest intelligence organization in the world. What's number two? Who's the second one? Germany. Who created Germany's CIA? America. In World War II, we created counter-communism. And so what we did was it was a major in the Wehrmacht who took over the CIA, I mean, the German version. And he was allowed to recruit SS... Gestapo. And so you have not only scientists coming from this country, but we are a German-American still connected to Nazis. And when I was at Robertson's organization, there were still Nazis.
Well, hold on. We have to take a quick break. Hold on to that, and we'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
We have Thomas Althaus here with us, the acclaimed writer of The Matrix, not those wacko Wachowskis, wacky Wachowski whack bags. That's what I call them usually. These guys, and have you ever actually talked to them directly since this whole thing's gone on? I don't think we've ever asked that.
They had attorneys provided to us to control the whole narrative and the whole game, so they were even arguing that we wouldn't have depositions if we went to court, we wouldn't have depositions with them, that there'd only be soft questions, telephonic, no monitors, not be present, that it'd be only an hour long, and nothing about what I've wanted to ask. It was all railroaded. And it's interesting that the Wachowskis actually did such a bad job that I guess they thought I would be bulldozed. And they put all that stuff in the first Matrix. All that information in the first Matrix, the first graphic they shot in the Matrix, it was, well, it's my high school. my birthday, my dad's name, my name. In the column it says TA 4099, I was 4099. So, and then the Animatrix, they put my exact birthday, age, date on the clock. You have a scene, shot in a detective story in the Animatrix where it says Tom Park Althaus across the screen, backwards. So they've done all these things, and their ass is grass. But the thing is that we need a fair day in court and a fair venue and actual not provided attorneys. They totally snow-rided me before. We never had our day in court. We had just a railroad job where they were all their attorneys controlled the game and bragged about it.
Well, you know, I'm trying my best to help you along with this process. I do know we have a venue in which we are going to give you as much exposure to the world as humanly possible. And I mean millions of people. If your story can get to the people, because that's ultimately, that's what's going to have to back you up.
Be the court of
public opinion. If you do this court thing and it's not a publicly known that you're in court for this, yeah, you're going to get railroaded.
Right.
We have to have a large population that's interested in your story and want to know the outcome. And if you have a lot of eyes on this, there's going to be, you know, no way that they can not give you somewhat of a fair trial. I mean, if we got you into court, I think this would be the biggest thing to happen in court anywhere this century, if we could get you into court and with some publicity. I mean, bigger than an OJ trial, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And we're being told that, you know, educate the public first, and that's the way to go, just like you're saying. And people are waking up to it. I mean, people are learning things now that they never knew that was actually there all along, like the red pill, blue pill. What was that supposed to be, the red pill, blue pill? Where does Jackson Neck come from? What was historically based in the train station scene? What were the liquid mirrors of the train station scene? It's like now finally all these answers are coming where they couldn't get it from the ripped-off work, which was simply just lifting the images off. And that was, you know, we're having the fight choreographer coming forward now saying that, yeah, your script was used on set. They made it up as they went along. That's why the 20-foot rule that you're fired if you're within 20 feet of the Wachowskis on set, which is unheard of. And they just lifted your stuff, made it up as they went along with a visual storyboard, your script in hand. That's now coming to light. And they finally admitted in Matrix 4, they, again, made it up as they went along. So you're right. Educate the public first, then go to trial, and I believe it will be the biggest thing ever with all the hands that have been in this. And even what's happened with the copyright trail where they put it in the ownership, the title of our work, and the ownership of the biggest investment firms in the world, but no body of work, just the title. So to create slots, they can slip our work in after I'm dead. You know, different companies could slip work in because all studios wanted to be involved. It's unbelievable how far this goes. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. even to the CIA. And you know, I know that sounds even more fantastical, but whenever, and I want to challenge people, whenever you watch a movie, look for Illuminati symbolism. How many movies can you go through without seeing a triangle, a predominant triangle in some sort of structure or poster, picture, just something somewhere in the movie? How long can you go without seeing the single eye in some artwork in the movie? How long can you go without seeing some sort of a rainbow, which is also an Illuminati symbolism? I challenge you to watch a movie and not find it.
Yeah,
we're going to go to commercial break. We'll be right back, guys. Well, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Yes, absolutely. This is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. We've got Thomas Althaus here with us, and we're just running through the numbers here again. Again, some people may not be familiar with the story, but there are other angles to hit this from, and that's what we're doing. We're trying to cover all the angles. I wanted to reiterate what I was saying right before the break. I'm not going to say that all movies that you watch are going to have Illuminati symbolism. The ones that you don't see them in are probably going to be independent productions. Some people who are not exactly millionaires and successful in the business. Things like that, but approved Hollywood movies, I'm going to tell you 99.9% of the time, you're going to see some predominant Illuminati symbolism. the most common you're going to see, obviously, the triangle, or the single eye. Those are the two that's going to be most predominant. You'll see some other stuff. You'll see possibly some Freemason Star Davids, or you'll see you'll see something. And it'll be in the background, or it'll be something that one of the actors or actresses touches. But I can show you, because what they like to do is they like to say, yes, we own this. You're watching this movie because of us. There's nowhere we don't have reach. This is our world, not yours. So, you guys see a lot of it. Even just, I mean, it'll be, so you won't even think about it a lot of times. I watched a movie a couple nights ago, and just like from the shape of the wood on a hotel room door, as a person was like walking in and out, you see the eye hole, the peeping hole, and then there's a giant triangle that's around it. And it's like, come on. Can you guys just stop fingering your own butts at this point? I mean, that's what they're doing. They're so into themselves. It's disgusting. I don't want to see it. I don't want to look at it. We know. Can you just pretend like you're not some boy-loving cult that owns the world? We got it. We got it already. All right? But yeah, I'm sorry. do you see the same thing when you watch anything, Tom?
Oh my God, if we watch things on Netflix, the attorneys for Warner Bros. Went over to Netflix now, and they're laundering with Wachowskis and Joel Silver through Netflix, Alder Carbon, and all these other series. And what's interesting is, we, like Angela, I watch some films, and we stop when a clock shows up. When a clock shows up, it's on 7-2, or it's the Looking Glass version, reversed. So Walking Dead, I sent Will some examples if he's still there. Some examples of 7-2, and then reversed, both in Walking Dead.
We talked about it was actually, we'll put them up, I'll send them to the producer, and we'll put them up in the show notes, and people can catch the archives on republicbroadcasting.org, perfect. Just look for a show. But yeah, if you want to start from wherever on those, and we can diagnose us, but yeah, it is radio, yeah. So you want to describe what the image is or whatever as you go along.
Yeah, I wanted you to see those. I want you both to see those because it's like what they're doing is in Man in the High Castle, which is what? Amazon. What? CIA controlled. And then you've got Walking Dead. What they're doing is they put 7-2 on the clock and then they do the reverse of it, the Looking Glass version, both. So you get 7-2, which is my birthday, July 2nd, and then you reverse it to 10-5. And I send examples in both, and that's what the clocks end up doing. In Ratatouille, 7-2. In Space Force, 7-2 on the wall, 7-2 next shot, different scene on the wall. And like I don't know if I told you this, but the main character in Space Force, right, is Mark Laird. My brother's name is Mark Laird, L-A-I-R-D. They switch it to N-A-R-I-D, N-A-I-R-D. It's his name, Mark Laird, Mark Laird. And so then they put the 7-2s in there. It's insane. So what I did was send a bunch of those shots. That's now becoming the standard industry is July 2nd. It's more safe to use my birthday to avoid copyright law than it is the smiling hands 10 out of 10 now. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. So,
okay. Well, I want to ask you. So after I did my first interview with you, I actually seen an ad on YouTube, a trailer, actually. about Matrix 4. I was like, oh my God, Tom is going to have a heart attack when he sees this. So what's the implications of this? Why would they make a Matrix 4, especially with you coming after them? Is the money all dried up and gone? Because they're going to have to pay you $1 billion when this is all over with. They need to go ahead and make another movie so they can pay you.
here's how we understand it. They are choosing, after all this time, to make Matrix 4 now, because I'm not dead. I'm still around. And what's going on is they need to do it before we freeze their assets. So they have to do it, get it made, capitalize off it. They're also in this statement, you'll see in the articles, Joel Silver says, Wachowski say, they're trying to use up the rest of the story. They're trying to use up the rest of the story. Well, then that's not your work, right? If they're saying that on set, as they shot Animatrix, we're trying to use up the rest of the story. We hope we used up the rest of the story, right? And now they're admitting on Matrix 4, they're making it up as they go along. That's pretty amazing. With all those people on union wages sitting there while they're making up as they go along, that's why the big debate in 2003 when they did Matrix 2 and 3, how to finish it, they kept their exact ending when everybody else was saying blow it up. So you got these guys that are racing forward. They don't want assets frozen. They want to make as much as they can. And they also believe they make it first, even though they're stealing it, make it first, no one will want to watch the original author's work. That's the game their attorneys were saying, too. In depositions, they said to me, okay, given the fact you wrote the Matrix, and they say, strike that. Then they go, well, did you make it first? Did you publish it? I said, it was submitted through attorneys to you, directly to the story department. And it's like, yeah, but did you make it first? And I ask you, V and Will both, copyright law doesn't deal with, did you make it first? You can't break into someone's home, take their work, and make it first, and say, well, we made the film first, therefore we're not guilty of theft, copyright infringement. Does that make any sense at all?
Well, not when it comes to copyright.
No.
You may have written a story that that you may have never wanted to go to a movie anyways. You may have just wanted it to be a book. You may have just wanted it to be a video game. What is done with intellectual rights, intellectual property, is up to the creator.
That's right. Well, they claim they're doing humanity a service because they're the ones that are off their butts making it and claiming, well, you wouldn't have done anything with it. Well, then why was it pitched and submitted through attorneys to your story department? Or your exec's request.
And Tom, a little added credibility, too. Talk about Falwell, the predictions you made on my show, what kind of person he was, and some of the other things that you've said that have come true. And I think it's always important to harp on the fact that, to people listening, this sounds like an unbelievable story, but once Tom starts laying things on the line like he has been already so far, and then you bear in mind one of the most important points, which is these guys never, the Wachowskis never claimed to have a script or anything that they were reading from, or they didn't claim to get this from anywhere. They just literally, I always use the example, like, they say Jay-Z goes into the recording thing and just makes freestyles right off the top of his head, which is difficult to you believe it, but the Wachowskis actually take it a step further, and they supposedly just freestyled an entire trilogy. And you can't, and that's something that you obviously can't do, because every scene is shot and put up on a storyboard, and it costs so much money just for every single scene and every single minute there. So it actually makes the Wachowski brothers and sisters seem rather unbelievable.
That's especially right because they failed as writers. They said in that article in 95, they failed as writers in Hollywood. If they failed as writers in Hollywood, and they claim that they had the Matrix story finished in 93, which they didn't, they had Thea Bloom, the divorce case over Thea Bloom and Larry, it was made clear that they hadn't created anything. They didn't get the contract to work on a Matrix till 95. I already submitted in 93. It says Joel Silver submitted the work in 94 to the story department solo, not with the Wachowskis. Yet he claims that the Wachowskis first showed it to him in 95. They fail as writers over Assassin. That was the test to see if they could at least do that. They had to bring another writer in. De Laurentiis had to bring another writer in. So Joel Silver, there was a big conflict at Warner Bros. Between the Wachowskis and Joel Silver and Dino Laurentiis over Assassins. They wanted their name out of Warner Brothers, off of it. And so the Writers Guild West said, you have to stand by your contract. So then Joel Silver came up with a save plan. I'll give you Tom's work. You can have this work that I entered into our story department, and it'll save your career. And then they were placated. But they were stupid enough in an article before saying, we want to be given that science project, when they said their work was Plastic Man and Carnivore. And the man who got that exclusive interview said, do you have anything else? Well, we have Plastic Man and Carnivore, and then there says pause in the transcript, pause. And then on that transcript, you'll see them say, we're hoping to be given the science project. It's completely bogus. You're right. They have not been able to create anything except derivatives off that work. And so what's interesting, when the case was thrown and they blocked everything, they're on tape. Their attorneys are on tape saying they have no working drafts, no notes, nothing. 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 So they're claiming that it's a moot point to ask for any discovery because they don't got it. They don't have anything. They have nothing. So why they tell the world they have all these working drafts and everything? So you've got this situation where, yeah, it's proven. We have a tape where Lenny Coco, the best friend of Bonaventura, he's talking to me from Long Island saying, yeah, you were here. My wife remembers you. My granddaughter remembers you. Yeah, you were here. I want you to write my life story. He's there. And their attorneys are saying, you're vindicated on tape. We've got that tape. This game is over. Game is over. So where did it come from? From copyrighted script predating them, far predating them, from 93. Submitted with tracking number, receipt, proof, character breakdown, and story treatment, 11-page story treatment, directly to 4000 Warner Bros. Lane, per the request of Bonaventura, to his best friend, Elizabeth, to Diane Bellis, story department.
Now get into a little bit about how, you know, Falwell and Disney interconnect there. And then you told me some interesting things about Falwell, and I said, no, how dare you? I smite you, you heathen. Falwell's a great Christian man. But I ended up being wrong, so I apologize to you for that. Can you tell people a little bit about Falwell and Disney?
Yes, okay. Basically, the religious right and the televangelists have a deal with Disney. They both share sex rings. And what's interesting is that after one of the interview, I had received a call or had a call. Hey, I actually taped it. I've been on tape. It's the Bob Iger's office at Disney. And Nicholas, who was Sophia Stewart's number one, he arranged that call. So there's Nicholas Aya on the tape. We have the tape calling Disney's offices. We're just calling the PR department or just the sales department. We're channeled up to Bob Iger's office when they hear who we are and what we wrote. And so at Bob Iger's office, the main guy puts us on hold for 15 minutes, and he gets back on the line saying, yes, Bob Iger wants to talk to you tomorrow. He's going to give you a call. He wants to talk about this. We did an interview. I did an interview that night. And next day, Bob Iger was fired. I had talked about the sex ring at Disney, how Bob Iger and I are going to talk. We have it on tape. And we're going to talk about, you know, maybe making a deal about the work, the stolen work, and that there was a sex ring operating. So what happened? Bob Iger's fired the next day, and they released an article in the news that Disney did a pedophile sting in their parks, 100 different employees. And I made the point that was only lower echelon, not the upper echelon.
Yeah, and so that's a great point. I was familiar with seeing that happen. It was only very much lower echelon. Do you think why do you think Disney fired Iger? Do you think he was going to work with you, or what was the motivation there?
It's the same thing that happened with Rockefellers. At Colonial Williamsburg, David Rockefeller owned, right? I had talked to Human Resources. I came back with an offer, a huge offer. So I came back to work with them out of Maui. And this is after the case was thrown. So they do this game of pulling you around, you know, and then just burning you. It's kind of like Justinian's army and the last emperor of Constantinople, Rome, where the Brigus or whatever his name was, a general was sent to and fro with not enough manpower just to waste his time because the emperor was afraid that he'd be more popular with his successes militarily in the final days of Rome, basically, around times. And so what you got is they bounce you around, waste your time. And so at Rockefeller's organization, Colonial Williamsburg, I'm being told, you know, we're going to get you these positions, we're doing it. They tagged me along, wasting time, and making sure that I wouldn't be accepted in anything. Finally, the head of human resources, Karen, talked to her, and I'm taping. I'm not stupid. And she says on the tape, it is, Tom, okay, it's really, really bad. It's really bad. She was fired the next day. So because they reveal that this is going on, you see top heads tumble. And I've seen this happen in different organizations. So it's like I'm poison ivy to these guys. It's like they all these different people have a hand in the pie. And if they can't exploit you and use you, they'll destroy you. And that's the word they use, destroy you. But as far as Falwell and Robertson, yes. The man who approached me that made this all blow open at Robertson's organization was Dr. Sova, Dr. Harry Sova. He's the one that took me on the trip to D.C. and revealed all about the sex ring, about Kempsville Presbyterian Church and how the pastor came forward admitting having sex with Robertson as the president of his school, who's now at Duke, North Carolina. And so I know all this stuff. And so that congregation was then put on the clamp down by Robertson's head of PR, David Geirdson, who's not a pastor, but was put in position to keep the congregation placated, down, not to speak about it, right? Because that pastor came forward and admitted having a sex at the Kempsville Presbyterian Church in Norfolk. And so what you have is that's being shut down. So what you've got is the sex ring operates so heavy that Dr. Sova, as he likes to be called, Dr. Harry Sova, was sent to Falwell's organization. Look at the communication department at Falwell's organization, Liberty University, and tell me what you see. Look at their faces. Tell me what you see. So that's the sex ring there. So I knew that was going to happen. And so when Falwell gets caught, he has this idea of, okay, well, it was the pool boy sleeping with my wife. BS. BS on a heavy level. No, he was sleeping with the guy. It's a sex ring. They did the same thing with me.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Tom, but this is, I think, an important point which people need to realize. So, example, Anthony Weiner gets a lot of grotesque stuff found on his cell phone, found on his laptop, and they say, oh, don't worry, it was only one time, it was a 15-year-old girl, it wasn't anything younger than that. Same thing with Jeffrey Epstein. You're told, oh, there's some 15, 16-year-old girls, and, you know, it wasn't that bad. But then if you do your own digging, you see that on his birthday, 12-year-old triplets were delivered to his house by Jean-Luc Brunet. So this is what they do every single scenario. Oh, don't worry. It was just Harvey Weinstein and maybe a couple other bad guys. But we're taking them all at Disney. Oh, don't worry. We got all the pedophiles at Disney now. And they'll give you like a small facade, something that's not even real. And they'll act like an isolated incident or it's not as bad as it is. Quite frankly, even the fact that that came out is astonishing itself, let alone the truth. And that's why I love talking to you, Tom, is because you're able to back up a lot of things with a lot of credibility and show that, you know, not only is Hollywood really crazy, but it's far darker than people realize.
Much farther.
Well, and also, I mean, come on. If you can't say, okay, 12-year-old girls, well, especially triplets, you're going to tell me that, this is what I don't believe, for a masseuse, you're training girls to become masseuses, okay? I'm not somebody, I've had my fair share of massages, and, you know, I'm going to tell you, if you are a connoisseur of massages, you're going to quickly get sexuality out of it. No, what I'm saying is you're not going to go there for any sexual attraction. Because some of the best massages I've had in the world have been from some burly guys. And man, do they know how to pop a shoulder and you know, get that hard, because I have hard muscles in my back. They knot up. It takes a strong superhuman person to get me.
It's even worse than that too, because at first they just tried to say it was 15, 16-year-old girls.
if all other saying, oh, it's his wife banging the pool boy and he's watching. And actually, he's banging the pool boy and probably way younger pool boys than that. Yeah. Jeffrey Epstein, it wasn't 15, 16-year-olds. It was 12-year-olds, and those weren't even under the auspices. And that's what we know of. That was a birthday present that had nothing to do with massage. It was only for sex.
Well, I'm going through the what is pushed onto people as far as hold on, let me talk, Bill. But what I'm trying to do is because they want people to come to that conclusion. Oh, massages. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's the story, but they set a precedent there that
right.
Okay, young girls for massages. So if that you don't want a young girl to give you a massage, they suck. Even if you are training them, they're not going to be good until they're fully grown woman and they're strong enough in their hands to give you a good massage. I know this, okay?
You want to hear something fun? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, listen, the only thing a little girl is going to be good for is what at that point? I can't think of anything. I mean, unless you're a pervert, you can probably think of sex.
Unless you're a pervert, you're the only thing. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, let me hit something important here. First of all, when you're brought into the sex ring, you're given position, you're given a job, you're given position. So when he said the pool boy was, you know, that means he's sleeping with them, because that's how they work in these organizations, religious right. That's what they do. I was being hired to be Dr. Sova's grad assistant and then work with him in business. When he approached the main guy that was working with me, who was on film, his oral comp question was, how would you treat a homosexual in your business? Because he wanted to work with him. So when you're brought into their sex circle, you're offered position, and that's how they cover it. The honeypot wife that came to me had a criminal record. She was a prostitute, had been in jail, ex-con, Aiden's mom. Now, what's interesting is, who was Harvey Weinstein's boss? Mike Lang of Disney. Mike Lang is the one that sent her emails on my birthday when her job was done, her con game was done. And he claimed that she was working as his masseuse. So they sent me an ex-prostitute. A prostitute was actually active in our marriage. And a massage therapist. That way she could keep her clients, her lovers, her clients. Yeah, so you hit it on the nail. But the thing is, keep in mind, these sex rings, these religious sex rings, have to have extra cover, don't they? There's too much at risk. So they employ you
it's to not extra position. Yeah, but... Okay, well, hold on. We have to take another commercial break. We're gonna come around the top of the hour, and we're gonna continue on this interview and probably take some callers. So stick around.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
This is RBN, The Republic Broadcasting Network.